think we'll start now, brother.
Thank you.
mighty good God. How many know we serve a good God?
Yes,
amen. And you already know I don't like a quiet church.
Amen.
We want to have a quiet church. We'll go right over off of Pauline Avenue. To the left, there's a cemetery. And we didn't come here to be dead, because God's not dead. He is what?
Yet
alive. So God called us to be quickly alive, these stones. Amen?
Yes.
Amen. But let us stand for our scripture reading. Nevertheless, we do thank God for all that he's doing. We're living in a very dangerous time for the church. Because if you look around, so many saints are losing their focus. Amen. So many saints are focusing on the things of the world, and they are neglecting the things of God. Amen. So this morning, we're going to deal with being godly. Godly is not just an identification, but how many know godly is a lifestyle? Amen. We have everybody identifying with being saved. But today, how many are walking a saved life? Amen. So we're going to turn to 2 Peter, the second chapter. We're going to read verses 4 through 9 together. Amen?
Amen.
2 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 9. Being saved is not an identification. It's a lifestyle. Everybody is thinking my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ externally. But I wonder what's taking place on their inside in their hearts. Amen? I'm not to judge, but the Bible says, judge yourselves. And you have no need to be judged. And the scripture said, if a man would examine him, what? Self. Amen. To see whether or not he's in the, not faith as far as believing, but how are you walking? If you examine your life, are you in the walking faith? Amen. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 reads, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and deliver them into chains of darkness, to be reserved unto judgment, and spare not the old world, but save Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that afterward should live ungodly, and deliver just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth who knoweth how? Unto the day of judgment to be punished. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you this morning for being in the house of prayer one more time. Lord, we thank you for having a mind to seek your face. We thank you, Lord, for having a mind not only to seek your face, but a ear to hear your word. For your word declares that if we hunger and if we thirst after righteousness, that we shall be filled. Oh God, we ask you today to send the word, oh God, into every one of our lives, individually and collectively as a church. Lord, send the word that will help align our lives with your will for our lives. Lord, send the word in the name of Jesus that will give us a mind to pick up our cross and to deny ourselves and to follow you daily. Lord, send the word in the name of Jesus, oh God, so that we may have clarity of mind, Lord, clarity of direction, oh God, so that we understand the way that you lead. Lord, our hearts desire to send the word, for your word is blessed. You send your word and it heal, you send your word and deliver, and you send your word and it set free. And for this we thank you. Can we all say in Jesus' name?
Jesus' name.
Amen. And you may be seated. So if we read Peter's account, we see that Peter is making two contrasts. He's contrasting two different things. He's contrasting living godly, and he's contrasting living ungodly. Amen. So in the world, we can live godly or we can live ungodly. Amen. So we're going to take our thought out of this, out of the ninth verse. And our thought is going to come out of the beginning of this ninth verse. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly. How many know God knows how to deliver the godly? Amen. And not just does he know how to deliver the godly, and he will bless them. So when God delivers you, he doesn't just deliver you and leave you in an empty void space, but God makes up the difference. So Peter is contrasting. He said, listen, angels of sin are reserved to hell until the day of judgment. Then he draws a parallel with Noah and those in the old world and all those that were destroyed because they lived ungodly. And then he brings us up to Lot. And he said, God delivered Lot because he was righteous. Amen. And I'm afraid saints today are giving up godliness and righteousness for the world. Paul, in writing in 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, he said, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. So the world exerts its pressures on us. The world system tries to make the church conform to their system. Now, if you read the scripture carefully, it didn't say that Demas forsook the Lord, but Demas forsook Paul. Prior to this, I believe in the book of Colossians and Philemon, Paul praises Demas for being his faithful companion. He praises Demas for being a fellow laborer in the vineyard. Amen. But in this fourth chapter of 2 Timothy, Paul is going through hardships. Paul is going through persecution. Amen. Paul is in prison. And if you read up a little earlier in that chapter, he said, all men forsook me, but the Lord stood by me. You don't need men. All you need is Jesus. How many know in your worst trial, though people may forsake you, God will stand by you. So Paul, we know, was constantly persecuted for his conviction. Paul constantly made a stand for God. He was in prison. He was beaten because he refused to deny the Lord. Hallelujah. So this is one of those times when Paul was being persecuted. And those that should have been his companion to encourage him forsook him. And Paul said, well, what made Demas forsake me? He loved this present world. Amen. Sometimes this world can be translated as this present age. And we know that the book of John tells us, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Because if any man love the world, then the love of the Father is not in him. Amen. So as saints of God, we ought to love God. Because if we love the world, then the love of the Father is not in us. He said, all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. He said, this is not of the Father. So I'm wondering today in church, how many are holding on to the things of the world in contrast to the things of God? Amen. James tells us that if we will be a friend of the world, then we are the enemy of God. So the world constantly tries to get the church to compromise. The world is constantly trying to get us to conform to their standards. We're going to go through a few more scriptures, amen? Because I like when we deal with a spiritual principle to have an actual biblical illustration so that we can see. Can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
So with that in mind, let us turn to Psalms, the 34th chapter. Now we know who? The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. God knows how. I believe Sister Millersley learned that God knows how to deliver the godly.
Amen.
Amen. Some of us have been in predicaments where the doctor said it never shall be. But how do you know God knows how to turn your never shall be around? for you. God will make ways for you if you live God. Don't yield to the temptation to compromise. Don't yield to the temptation, hallelujah, allowing the world's pressures to make you compromise your conviction with God. We read in Psalm 34:7, the angel of the Lord encamped round about him that what? Fear him. The angel of the Lord is able to not only can encamp, but he's able to what? Deliver them. So who is it? The angel of the Lord. Peter said, the Lord knows how to deliver. I tell my wife a lot of times in dealing with saints, especially preachers and leaders, there are many times people feel as though God don't know his business. Amen? Y'all may kind of say amen, but I'm sure some of y'all have experienced it. Sometimes people feel as though God doesn't know how to yield out retribution. The Bible tells us, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. But many times we feel as though God, I don't see them reaping like they ought to reap. Look at somebody and say, the Lord. Alright, if you read that in the sixth chapter of John, he's asking him, he said, now we got this great multitude. How are we going to feed them? Phil said, if we had 200 penny worth of food, we couldn't feed them all. That is, a penny worth was a denaro, and a denaro was one day's wages. So he said, if we had over half year's wages, we couldn't feed all of these. For the Lord said, well, what are you going to do? They didn't know. But the scripture said, the Lord already did what he was going to do.
Hallelujah.
But he just wanted to see what is your faith reaction to your test. Because he already knows.
Yes.
Lord, thank you. How do you know he already knows?
Yes.
Amen. You don't know, but he already knows. You can't figure out, but God already knows how to deliver the God. So many times in our tests and trials, we get frustrated because, like I said, God is not following us like we told him to. This is the truth. We pray and we say, God, I want you to do this, and I want you to do that, and I want you to do the other. We don't say, Lord, what do you want me to do?
Yeah.
And then when God don't meet the conditions that we set out, we have an urge to get upset. Say, Lord, I told you to do this. God said, you haven't been my counselor. God said, you haven't been my instructor. He said, by the way, have you not known? Have you not heard?
Jesus,
he don't have. Hallelujah. Jeff, you know what Jesus did? Y'all Obama, all the Obamas and Yamas and Damas didn't do it either. All I want to deal with was Jesus.
Yes.
And Jesus, listen, saints, this is what we have to understand, the power that resides in us and in the world. Right? If Jesus had all that power to bring dead folks back, now listen, it didn't say he just about the ones that were back this time. He went all the way back to Adam.
Yes.
Every saint that had been in the grave. Because at that time, remember, let me give you a little education. Remember the rich man and the guy? Rich man and Lazarus when he died?
Yes.
The Bible says the rich man looked over and saw Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. So at that time, paradise resided in the same realm as hell. So when he looked over and he saw Lazarus in Abraham's bosom, a rich man said, send Lazarus that he may come and dip the tip of his fingers in water and cool my tongue because I am tormented. And God said, no, son, you already had your pleasures. You already had your worldly, ungodly living. He said, now you are tormented and Lazarus is blessed. Right? So what did Jesus do when he went down? No longer could the rich man look over and see paradise because Jesus brought paradise back with him.
Turn up.
Don't compromise. Keep your faith. And then the men that cast Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the furnace, the fire killed them. But the angel of the Lord, I said the angel of the Lord, encamped the ground about him that feed him. So now Daniel, that is just give you that feeling. Now Daniel, 3rd chapter, 28th verse. Amen. After the king saw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they went in the fire, bow.
Yes.
Now listen, this is what God will do with your enemies. Right? The enemy will bind you.
Yes.
You get in the fire, and God will loose you. Because the enemy compromise because we did not trust in him. Amen. But when you make your stand, there, see, God is with you. All right. Trust in him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. He said, then listen. So God delivered them, right? Because they held their conviction. But not only did God deliver them, but God also blessed them.
Yes.
How do we know? Therefore, the king said, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language would speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces. Well, what happened? Because I held my faith.
Yes.
Because I didn't lose my faith. Because I didn't lose my hope. Because I didn't lose my trust. My life was, I let my light shine and it was a witness to others. Amen. Because I held on to my conviction. Let your light so shine before me so they may see your what? Good work. And in the end they do what? Glorify your Father which is in heaven. He said, now listen, if you speak anything against God, now he had already set this golden image. Amen. We'll go into that. We don't have time to go into the golden image. I represent the Antichrist. Right? But he set up this golden image. And he says in the Lord, and their houses shall be made a dunghill because there is no other God. There is no other God. When you hold on, even though the enemy was coming against you, they said God is with them. They said there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. So when Sister Billingsley was telling the doctor, she said, doctor, I thank you, but I'm trusting in the higher doctor. He said, okay. Sorry. Then at the end, he asked me, he said, who's that higher doctor you're talking about?
Yes,
yes. She said, that doctor is Jesus. Right? He was looking for a physical doctor. But she was talking about a spiritual doctor. She was talking about a doctor giving a way out of no way. But let's see. Well, how do you know after God blessed them? It says verse 30, then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. So not only did God deliver them, but he also blessed them. I'm saying many of us have been delivered, but we are not looking for the blessing. When God delivers you, he'll bless you. God won't deliver you from a situation and put you back in a bad situation. When God delivers you, there is a difference. All right, I'm going to close in the sixth chapter of Daniel. Now, to my amazement, there's only two times in the whole Old Testament where the scripture says he sent his angel to deliver them. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and also Daniel.
Amen.
He said, Lord, I want a personal angel.
Yes,
send me your angel. Right? In both cases, they didn't compromise. So God said, because you didn't compromise, I'm not going to send that angel. I'm going to come and deliver you myself.
Yes.
His angel had to be a representation of the Lord.
Yes.
Right? Because the Lord stood by me, and the angel of the Lord encamped me round about them that fear him. So Daniel, the sixth chapter. And we know in this case, Daniel was faithful. As there's so much, I don't really have time to get into it, but there's so much in Daniel because when Daniel interpreted Belshazzar, he right on the wall in the fifth chapter, the scripture said they made him royalty. They gave him royal apparel, and he was third in the kingdom and under Belshazzar. Then when Darius comes in, he destroys all of the royalty, but not Daniel. But he was royal. Why? The Lord was with him. So you would think if he destroyed all the rest of Belshazzar and everybody else, why did he destroy Daniel? Because God was with him. So Daniel is here and Daniel is faithful. If you read from the, up to verse 1 down, it says Daniel was so faithful that that Darius sought to elevate him, to make him over all of the men. Who was he? He was a stranger. He was from Judah. He was not one of the citizens of the country, but God said, I'm going to make you head because I found an excellent spirit in you, and you've been faithful. Saints, keep your spirit and stay faithful.
Amen.
So these men, the like that testimony. They couldn't find no fault when it came to the affairs of this world. So they said, the only way we're going to find fault with Daniel is when it comes to his God. So they combined the plan and they went to Darius. They said, oh, king, live forever. They said, all the princes, all the governors, we've got together and decided that we, the scripture really means we want to make you king, king, we want to make you God for 30 days. So they said, don't let anybody ask petition of any other God but you for 30 days. Why? They already knew. Daniel was not going to compromise. Amen. Amen. They knew that Daniel was faithful. They knew Daniel had an excellent spirit. What a testimony to have. If I can't find fault with you in this world, I find fault with you with your God. But somebody said, you got to still hold on. Oh, you got to still hold on. So they couldn't find fault. So they said, oh, the king. But listen, if you pay attention to the scripture, they lied. Because all of the governors and princes didn't go because Daniel wasn't there. But they said, oh, amen. So much I go with this on Wednesday, my Lord. I didn't feel the rest of the year. That's right, right? But Daniel refused. The scripture says that when Daniel knew that the decree had been signed, that if anybody prayed to any other God for 30 days, they'll be cast into the lion's den. They said Daniel was just as faithful and consistent as he always was.
Amen.
And he went and he looked towards Jerusalem. And he prayed three times a day.
Yes.
Because Daniel remembered the prayer of Solomon.
Yes.
In 1 Kings, the 8th chapter, I think around the 44th verse, Solomon prayed that if my people are ever put to the worst, and if they're taken to a foreign land, Lord, if they can only look back to this place, will you hear from heaven and will you deliver them? God said yes. If they can't get back, if they pray, I'll hear and I will deliver them. So Daniel knew Solomon's prayer. So Daniel prayed three times a day. Now listen, Daniel could have been like a lot of us. When we want to do something, he could have closed the windows so it's just between me and God. But the Bible says he went and prayed and the windows were open. Because he was not ashamed of his God. And these men came and found Daniel praying. And when they found Daniel praying, they went to the king and the king said, oh, you're right. But then when you realize it was the excellent one called Daniel, the Bible said the king tried to deliver him by his own power. But how do you know he couldn't deliver him? Because God knows how to deliver the God. So the king said, oh, all night fasting and praying. It said his sleep went from him. But early in the morning, he went and said, oh, king, he said, oh, Daniel, was your God able? Verse 19. Then the king rose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said, Daniel, oh, Daniel, servant of the
living God.
Keep your hands clean. Some of us might feel as though we're in some impossible situation. God's not dead, he's still alive. We serve a living God. And steadfast forever. And his kingdom that we shall not be destroyed. And his dominion shall be even until the end. He delivered, listen, and rescued. And working signs and wonders in heaven and earth. Who had delivered Daniel from the power of working a living God? God said, they said, listen, not only did God deliver him, but I'm about to promote him. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. God blessed Daniel so much because he trusted and believed in God that God did not only bless him when Darius was there, but when Cyrus came, the blessing just kept flowing. Make your stand for God. Don't compromise. God is alive. Let us all stand.
Hallelujah.
How do you know we serve a living God? I believe even in church, many of us are like the women that went looking for Jesus after he was crucified and buried. They went to the place where Jesus was. Right? Too many in church are going to places where they think God is, but he's not there. So they went to the place and they saw two men inside in apparel sitting there, one at the foot and one at the head. And they asked him, why are you seeking the living among the dead? I'm afraid today in church we are seeking the living among the dead. Our God is alive, but we have to hold on to our faith. We cannot compromise, no matter how bad it looks like. God will make a way for you. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly of the gifts.